All right, Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 10. We started looking at that last week. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Father, thank you for the text. Help us to hear it and to be able to take the text to our own hearts as an encouragement to look to thy strength and to know that in the midst of adversity that you grant strength to your people and that you mold and make them through adversities. And it's where we learn to trust in you, and it's where we are purified and the dross is taken out so that what is good can remain, which is that faith and hope in you and that leaning upon your power and upon your wisdom and upon your goodness and in all these things. And so we pray that you would teach us tonight through Christ our Lord. Amen. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. We just sang the song by Fanny Crosby, and if I'm remembering my story right, Fanny was blinded right at a young age by a doctor's mistake, and so she and her parents are an example of the text that is before us, that they didn't faint, that they did not give up, and that she by grace was strengthened throughout a life of adversity, and a life of blindness, which is a difficult trial. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask besides, just so long as God leads us? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Can I doubt his tender mercy, even though she had faced this tremendous trial? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. Because what she couldn't see with her eyes, she saw with the eyes of faith. And what she saw with the eyes of faith was glorious, comforting, and filled her full of joy. For I know whatever befalls me, Jesus doeth all things well. And so that speaks a lot for someone who has faced the trial of blindness on account of human error, which can beget bitterness in some, but did not in her, as she saw all things as in the hand of God. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. There's lots of winding paths. Gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. That grace comes by Christ through his word. Though my weary steps may falter, she knew weariness, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. God gives us those times of watering. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. So she did not claim to perfect rest here, and no doubt struggled at times, no doubt many times. Anyone who has that kind of affliction, and Johnny Erickson can tell you how many struggles she's had through her life and continues with further challenges ahead. But there is that hope of a perfect rest above. When my spirit clothed immortal wings its flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. So there is something to learn from that in her talking about the leading, that song, that hymn talks about leading all the way through it. And our text before us is, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So what we would take from that is that adversity is of the Lord, and that he leads us in those ways too, in adversity, through adversity, even as the scripture talks about Christ being driven of the Spirit into his time of temptation. Bridges, in his commentary, he writes, let this be a word of strengthening encouragement The marvel is that those who know not where to look for a refuge when the storm is breaking over their heads do not always faint. But natural courage and buoyancy, or a deeper plunge into the world as a diversion from sorrow, raises them above their troubles for a little while, estranging them still further from God. But why should the child of God, contrary to his father's injunction, faint? Look at your privilege. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath the everlasting arms, your duty. Call upon me in time of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Your security, I will never leave you or forsake you. For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies I will gather thee. I will gather thee. And he says, remember when we seek strength from our own resources, when faith gives way to distrust, or praise to murmuring, or hope to despondency, when relinquished pleasures vividly come to mind and protracted toils press heavily, then it is that we faint in the day of adversity, when we lean upon our own resources and forget our great resource. So our text is in chapter 24, verse 10. If you faint, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Turn to Exodus chapter 5. Adversity comes to those who are, we sometimes think of adversity as a part of God's judgment or chastisement, and it can be and is in this world, but adversity also comes just as a normal part of God's will for our lives, even as we are obedient. As we are obedient and we are seeking to further his kingdom and to spread his truth, adversity can come in the midst of that. In Exodus chapter 5, afterwards Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh this, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast for me into the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and neither will I let Israel go. And they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us, let us go. We pray thee 3 days' journey into the desert and sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or sword. And the king of Egypt said to them, why do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works get you to your burdens? And Pharaoh said, behold, the people of the land now are many, and you make them rest from their burdens. And then up to verse 20, and you know how that he had them make brick without giving them straw and making them gather the stubble in Egypt and just made their work all the harder. In verse 20 it says, and they met Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way as they were coming forth from Pharaoh. And they said to them, the Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned to the Lord, and he said, Lord, why have you so evil entreated this people? Why is it that you have sent me? Why am I here? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he has done evil to this people, and neither have you delivered your people at all. Because the expectation that Moses had, God had told him, I want you to go to Egypt, and I'm going to use you as an instrument to deliver my people out. And of course, Moses had his own timetable, like we all do. We want it on the first shot, and immediately we want to see results. And we don't want to have to pass through the trials, which Moses had to do. So Moses was doing the will of God. He was obeying the Lord, seeking to glorify God in what he did. And yet he has all this adversity in his life. And he's got people on him, Lord, look at you and judge what you're doing, how good a leader you are. Because things are worse now, not better, since you came. The scripture says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So we see that Moses did, what did he do? He went to the Lord, and he said, why and why? But still, he went to the Lord. He still maintained. He still continued to go back to Pharaoh when God told him to. In the midst of even people wanting to stone him, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. He questioned God, yes, and we do. We do that in our own hearts and minds and in our own prayers at times, even when we're going through a very hard and difficult thing. We question God and we ask God, why and how long, Lord? And all these questions we have, being mortal and being finite. And God is gracious to us to hear us. He knows our weakness. He knows that. But the point is that Moses didn't give up. He didn't faint in the day of adversity. He had plenty of adversity throughout his whole life, actually, as he was leading the children of Israel along. Turn to Genesis chapter 35. Sometimes adversity, we bring adversity upon ourselves as well. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Sometimes we have to be strengthened up to endure adversity that we have brought upon ourselves. That's one of the harder cases of adversity, because we feel, as Christians, we feel our own futile, whatever it is that we've done to bring this adversity upon ourselves. We wonder, I guess, if God is going to even aid us now, since we've brought this stuff upon ourselves. Is he just going to turn us loose to our own devices? And yet he is gracious. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 2, Jacob said to his household and to all that were with him, "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments, and let us arise and go up to Bethel, the house of God, and I will make there an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress." And that's our Hebrew word, if you faint in the day of adversity. "Who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way that I went." What was the day of his distress? Well, Jacob actually had a bunch of them. He had distress when he left the house. He had distress when he got to Laban. He had distress when he left Laban. He had distress when he came back into the land again. But the original distress was what? It was the fact that he obtained the blessing through deceit. He did not trust the Lord. His mom didn't trust the Lord either. And the way he got God's blessing was by deceiving his father, which then caused Esau to have even more hatred toward his brother. And he said, I'll wait till my dad has passed and I'll kill my brother. And it became known, and so mom had to send him off away from the house. And he says that God heard him in the day of his distress, because when he slept on the ground with a rock for his pillow was when God in grace came to him, despite the fact that he had been deceitful and had first gotten the blessing deceitfully. Then his daddy gave him the blessing willingly after that. But as we see, he goes through all these other problems. And when he really begins to understand the blessing of God and how it's obtained is actually when he comes back into the land, he wrestles with the Lord. And that's when he begins to get peace about all these things. But he goes into Bethel and he lays on the ground, and God gives him that vision of a stairway into heaven and the angels going up and down the stairway, which was very comforting, because what that was saying is that I'll be with you in all my ways. I've got my angels who are sent to the heirs of salvation, and I'll protect you and keep you in all your ways. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Jacob brought that upon himself. But he didn't give up. He continued on. He went into the land of Haran after he was deceived by Laban the first time, had worked 7 years, had worked another 7 years for his second wife. You know he thought about deception. You know he put two and two together and said, I've been a deceiver and now I've been deceived. And felt that as, okay, God's showing me something here. He leaves Haran in distress because he believes his father-in-law is deceiving him over and over again, not just once, not just in the getting of these wives, but changed his wages 10 times. So it's just a constant deceit that he's having to deal with. And God is using this, no doubt, in his life to show him the hatefulness of deceit. And God does that for us. Sometimes the adversity he brings us into coincides with particular sins that we have, so that we can see the heinousness of those particular sins. So we experience that sin being plied upon us. Perhaps we have a propensity toward that sin. And perhaps we have been able to justify it in our minds. It's not that bad. So God allows it to be perpetrated upon us to help us to see how bad it is. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You're not to faint in such days. If God has allowed something to be perpetrated upon you that you have perpetrated upon others, you are not to faint in those days. Again, you are to go to God. You are to trust in God. He is yet your Father. He is yet teaching you, instructing you in the ways. So when he came home, he was distressed again. Esau is coming with an army of 400 men, and he's separating out the companies by his favorites. And he goes and he wrestles with the angel. And that's where I see Jacob finally gets the true blessing. He finally gets the blessing in a way that he's supposed to get it. He's supposed to get it by wrestling with the Lord, by going to God. And now that he can trust God, now he says, I won't let you go until you bless me. And it's not, I'm going to trick my dad so I can get your blessing. Now it is, I don't deserve any of this, because the statement before that is, when I crossed over this Jordan, now I'm two bands and I'm not worthy of the least of the mercies that you have given to me. And then he wrestles with the angel and he says, I will not let you go till you bless me, because I need your blessing. So he's learned. He persevered. He did not faint in the day of adversity. He had certainly some fainting fits and struggles, but he didn't faint. He continued on, and the Lord did bless him. The Lord did bless him, and he obtained the blessing of the Lord. Genesis chapter 42. Genesis chapter 42, verse 18. Joseph said to them, his brothers, the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If you're true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison, and go and carry corn for the famine of your houses, and bring your youngest brother to me, so your words will be verified and you will not die. And they did so, and they said to each other, we are verily, truly guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul, and when he besought us, and we did not, would not hear, and therefore is this anguish or distress come upon us. Those two translated differently in the King James, but it's the same Hebrew word used twice. And it's our word for adversity, that idea of adversity, being in a tight spot. We saw how when he was in a tight spot, how he begged us not to do that thing, and we wouldn't hear. And now it's on us. Now we feel it. So they did tie together the one with the other. And I think it was a proper judgment at that point. At that point, we can't always read providence closely, but I think they could, and they did, see that God was speaking to them through the adversity. So by their sin of anger, they brought adversity upon themselves. The first was by the sin of deceitfulness of Jacob. Here, this is the sin of anger, that they brought that upon themselves. So they see this distress. It comes back to them as guilt. And God is gracious to them. God is gracious to them. In time, their words are verified, and God prospers them. And they, even though they feel this guilt throughout their life, the Lord was gracious to them, protected them, kept them from the famine, and Joseph nurtured them, even as Christ nurtures us in the midst of our sins. 1 Samuel chapter 1. If you faint in the day of adversity. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 6. And her adversary provoked her sore. There's our word again. This is Hannah's adversary, to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. So what did Hannah do? She prayed. And this is, as you study this word out and go through the text of Scripture, you'll find this to be the thread that is in the passages. That as God brings men into adversity by his providence, or they bring themselves into adversity by their sins, if they are believers, what they do is that they pray. They go to God. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Well, the remedy for fainting is to pray. It is to pray. So she prayed and she poured out her heart before the Lord. And this is what allowed her to go on, allowed her to hope, allowed her to believe in God, allowed her to endure the adversity that she had. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is Jehoshaphat. Verse 5, Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over the kingdoms of the heathen? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one can withstand you? And art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, your friend, forever? So he first talks about the nature of God, who he is, then he talks about the history of God, what he has done. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, verse 9, if when evil comes upon us, as the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in your presence, for your name is in the house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and then you will hear us and help us. Again, that's our word for this adversity. We'll cry to you. We will cry to you. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So what did Jehoshaphat do, and what did he call upon the people to do? To cry out to God in days of adversity. And that is the way that we stand, so that our strength, so that we don't fail, we don't faint. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. It's a little bit over. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah recalls the past as he's trying to encourage the people. Nehemiah chapter 9. We have in chapter 9 at the beginning the gathering together of the children of Israel. And they stood up, verse 3, in their place and read the book of the law. And then stood up of the stairs the Levites, he gives in verse 4 and verse 5. And saying, stand up and bless the Lord your God forever and ever, who is blessed. Blessed be his glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing. And in this prayer, as he is recounting the goodness of the Lord, we have in verse 17 or 27, therefore thou deliveredst them into the hands of their enemies, who vexed them, and in the time of their trouble they cried to you, and you heard from heaven, and according to your manifold mercies you gave them saviors, who saved them out of the hand of their enemies. Talking about the days of the judges and throughout the history of Israel. And then in verse 31, we read, nevertheless, for thy great mercy's sake, thou didst not utterly consume them or forsake them. You are a gracious and merciful God. Now, therefore, our God, the great and mighty and terrible God who keeps covenant and mercy, let not all the trouble seem little before thee that has come upon us and our kings and our princes, our priests and our prophets and our fathers, and on all the people since the time of the kings of Assyria to this day. Howbeit, thou art just in all that you brought upon us, for thou hast done right, and we have done wickedly. So he confesses the rightness of God's judgment and the affliction that came upon them, but he still asks God and says, don't think of this as something small. To you, it's nothing, we know. To us, it is large, our afflictions. And so we go to God in that manner. we pray to God in that manner. He first of all recalls the answering of prayer in the past, the history of God, and that we have a whole book full of that in which we can recall, and we can say we read about this time when this person prayed and you heard their prayer and you answered them. But then he translates it then now to today. But what about today? I mean, that's nice that we've got all these stories and encouragements from the past, but at some point it has to be applied to us now, to where these are not just nice moral stories to encourage our hearts about wonderful things that God did in the past. It's supposed to lead us then to how do we deal with our present afflictions? How do we deal with present adversity? Adversity. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And it's not to be small. We are to therefore take those examples, argue them back to God, and then ask God to remember, now this is what we have now. And please don't think that these are small things, because to us they're large things. It can be, you know, the conversion of a loved one. It can be a financial distress. It can be all kinds of different distresses that we don't need to faint under, but we need to trust in the same mighty God to hear our prayers, which it's evident that we do trust him when we pray. Our prayer life is an evidence of what we think of the might and power of God. If you faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Turn to Psalm 9. Solomon's son, David. Solomon writes the words, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Solomon certainly had a wonderful example in his father, David, as someone who underwent all kinds of adversity and who evidenced what you do in that time of adversity, which is to go to God over and over and over and over again. Because we keep reading all these psalms, and most of the psalms in the book of Psalms are David's, the greatest majority is. And you have all these instances of David in adversity and all these instances of David praying to God in those adversities. Psalm 9, verse 9. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble for those in adversity, the oppressed. Psalm 10, verse 1. Why do you stand afar off, O Lord? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Going to God. Psalm 20, verse 1. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble and adversity. In the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee and send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Psalm 25. All these have that Hebrew word for adversity in it that we are not to faint under. Psalm 25 and verse 17. Verse 16 says, turn unto me and have mercy upon me. I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. So it wasn't just the Lord Jesus Christ. When he was manifest in such a way that we understood that he underwent our distresses. And we have a mediator who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But apparently David understood that of God himself before there was ever a manifestation of God in the flesh, because the expectation is that God would look upon those afflictions and pain and would understand something about what the creature was undergoing as being created by God. So that God has always been one who has been compassionate and gracious. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon gives an instance in which prayers are not heard and not answered when someone is under affliction. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24, because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and you did not regard, but you set at naught all my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity, mock when your fear comes. And verse 27, when your fear comes like a desolation and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, that's our word for distress there, then shall they call upon me and I will not answer, and they will seek me early and they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge. So that is an example of some who will faint in the day of adversity, because God in his grace had reached out to them by the word, by whatever means that God reached out to them, and God was rebuffed over and over again. And then suddenly great distress came upon them. Then all of a sudden they wanted to pray, and God said at that point it was enough, and that he would not hear their prayers, like Esau, who sought the Lord with bitterness and tears and never found the Lord. So we are not to mock God. We are not to think that we can just do anything we want all our life, rebuff God at any time, and God's just our lackey, that he'll come and do whatever we want at some point. That's not the case. Isaiah speaks of God's love for his people in their afflictions. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for thee. Be thou our arm every morning, our salvation in the time of adversity. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. So, again, God from all of eternity had that sense of being afflicted when his people were afflicted. And then Hezekiah. Hezekiah was afflicted when the Assyrian wolf was at the door. And Isaiah chapter 37 tells us in verse 1, it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. When he heard the Assyrians were at the door and that they were boasting of what they were going to do to Israel, great affliction, time of affliction. And Hezekiah did not faint. Hezekiah, he went, first of all, he went into the house of God to beseech God. He sent off servants to go ask Isaiah to pray as well. I'm going to pray. Ask him to pray as well. And then Isaiah sent back the answer that God had given him, that God was going to protect them. But Isaiah 37 and verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers. He read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord, spread it before the Lord, and he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel that dwells between the cherubim, you are the God, even thou alone. All the kingdoms of the earth that belong to you, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, hear, open your eyes, and see, hear all the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Of a truth, the Assyrians have laid waste all the nations and their countries, and cast their gods into the fire. But that's because they were no gods. They were the works of men's hands, wood and stone. That's why they destroyed them. Now therefore, O God, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are God and you only. So we see even the motive as he is praying and persevering through this affliction. What is his motive? His motive is so that the earth may know that you are God. So uphold us and keep us, that you may be glorified, that I can persevere through this affliction. It's not just take this away from me so my life will be easier. Even in the midst of it all, his heart comes out, and the purity of Hezekiah's thought comes out in that. Jonah prayed, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of hell I cried, and you heard my voice. Out of the belly of the fish, he prayed in the time of his affliction. Nahum prayed. Samson prayed as well. Samson, in his last great victory that he got over the Philistines, and God had called him to fight the Philistines, was standing with those pillars being brought there by the lad. And it says that it came to pass when their hearts were merry, they called for Samson. He tells the lad to put him on the pillars wherein the house stands. The house was full of men and women and all the lords of the Philistines. Samson called unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, one more time, that I may be avenged of the Philistines for my eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, in which it was borne up. And God heard his prayer, and God answered his prayer, because Samson was not the Hulk. Samson's might came from the Lord. And so for this to take place and for him to be able to push those pillars apart and to bring this great destruction was of the Lord. God heard his prayer. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. And Samson, like David and like all the saints, had his own issues that he had to deal with in his own life. And yet God was gracious to him. And in the midst of great affliction, he called out to God, and God heard his prayer and wrought a victory against the enemies of the Lord. And finally, just to remember also that the Lord Jesus Christ himself, in his humanity, in Psalm 22, the great messianic psalm, that in his time of affliction, and this is that same Hebrew word used once again, Psalm 22 and verse 11, where Christ says, be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. So Christ, in the midst of his adversity, felt the loneliness, felt the difficulty, but he did not faint. He did not faint. Of all the people who did not faint in the time of adversity, Christ is our greatest example. And how did he not faint? He prayed again. He went to his Father. He was strengthened by his Father. And Matthew says, when Jesus had once again cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost, and the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints which slept arose. And there came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. And when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and the things that were done, they feared greatly and said, truly, this was the Son of God. But our Lord Jesus Christ underwent the greatest time of affliction. And in the day of adversity, he did not faint, and his strength was not small. His strength was great because it was the strength of the Lord. So when he says, if thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small, it's because we're depending upon our own strength. That's when we faint. When we don't faint is when we're depending upon omnipotence. That strength cannot fail. It cannot fail. So Christ did not fail because he was utterly dependent upon his Father, who was omnipotent. Samson was allowed that last great victory, not because of his own doings, not because of his own righteousness, but because of the Lord God, who granted him that strength one more time. Lord, one more time, help me, as he was enduring the afflictions that he was undergoing. So the thread that we see all the way through the scripture of adversity comes sometimes because of our own issues, our own sins. Sometimes it comes simply because the Lord brings adversity into our lives to teach us and instruct us and purify us and purge us. But the thread is what God's people do in adversity is that they pray. And so that's the blessing of adversity, is that it teaches us to pray. Whereas at times, just like the children of Israel, when things are well and all is going well, we can become prayerless. We can become careless or prayerless in our lives, thinking that it's all just going as if by our own ability. So the Lord purposefully puts these things to teach us to depend completely upon him. So when adversity comes, don't faint. Don't faint. Go to God, the one who grants strength to the weak and to the weary, and victory. We thank you, Father, for your word. Your word is truth. If we faint in the day of adversity, it's because our strength is small, because we depend upon our own strength, and it is small. And because we are depending upon the smallness of ourselves instead of the largeness of your person, your omnipotence, your power. And so we would confess to you, Father, our need, ever and always, for you to deliver us from ourselves, deliver us from the world, deliver us from Satan. And through all these adversities, O Lord, that we face from the world, the flesh, and the devil, we pray that you would grant us that a purer faith, that our faith would grow in you, tranquility of heart, as we would remember what you have done in the past, so that our hearts are not full of turmoil, but trusting in you. We pray that you would grant to us a consistency in our prayer life, and not just a consistency, but that we would grow in this particular discipline in our life, so that our hearts can remain full of joy and peace, because we are ever and always communing with you and looking to you and knowing that you do all things well, and that you are our God, and that all things that are brought upon us are brought by thy own direction, and that you have led us all the way, even as Fanny wrote in her hymn. And so continue to bring these to bear upon our hearts, that you do lead us even through affliction. And as we go through, Lord, we pray that you would help us and strengthen us even when we have brought things upon ourselves, Lord, that help us to remember that thy grace is far greater than we can imagine, far greater than that your mercy and compassion, far greater than ours ever is. And we thank you for that, and how you take us as lambs upon your shoulders and bring us into the fold again, and that you give us your grace. And so we pray that you would accept us through Christ our Lord. Amen.